This podcast is sponsored by Mavericks Western Wear, your one-stop shop for all your rodeo and saddlery needs. Mavericks.net.au.
We're beside ourselves. We're extremely excited to be welcoming some amazing icons, some beautiful musicians into the studio, and I want to give them a big round of applause and a warm welcome right now. Welcome, Goanna, to the studio. How are we all doing today?
Thanks, Clay.
Hey, Clay.
Rose, Marcia, Graham, Shane, all welcome to you. And how's your trip been so far? And kicking off in Cairns, going down to Gold Coast on
bad.
The 40th anniversary tour of Spirit of Place.
Bad idea to start in Cairns. Too much bummer, too many countrymen, everyone coming out of the woodwork. So we didn't want to leave, you know.
It's beautiful. And
really lovely, yeah. Minjil mob welcomed us to country, Yidinji country up there. Beautiful ceremony, beautiful gift-giving, gave us beautiful little necklaces each to keep us safe. And Kirsty Birchall, young Indigenous First Nations woman up there, she and her band, they did the all-girl band, they did the opening. Beautiful. And then David Hudson played Yidaki Dij for Solid Rock and,
and
loosened every screw in that building.
So our reaction been really good, like the feedback.
There's so much love out there for the old Goanna. And we did a couple of did it all the wrong way around, but we did a couple of festivals early in the year. We did Wyoming Adelaide, which was a big event. And then we did a couple of shows with the Oils as well. And, we didn't know how we'd be received, but there's a lot of love out there for that old Nintucka, that old Prenti.
Oh, and a beautiful animal. Wow.
Yeah.
Goanna, you do think about it. Like, I love wildlife and all that sort of stuff. And sometimes you have to almost bring back the name and remember what it means. There's a bit of that, you know, you get distracted by the music, and then you think about, oh, wow.
Don't forget the teeth and claws.
That's right. They're partly venomous, some of those species. But, no, fantastic to have you guys here. And I want to know a bit about over the 40 years and take us right back to the Goanna Manor. And St Kilda, and where those stories all started.
Yeah, well, we were a Geelong band originally, and we kind of cut our teeth on the Great Ocean Road down the Otway Forest and all that surf, bit of reggae going on, country music, lots of that sort of stuff. And then we made the big move to Melbourne in about 1980, and we had a little place out the back of a venue called Macy's. And one time we had a little EP launch there, and we had a barbecue, but no good, it was raining, so we had to move the barbecue inside.
I think we
got kicked out of that place after that. And then Ian, our manager, he found this building in St Kilda. It was amazing old building, still going, still there. It's two-story and classic kind of gothic place, big veranda and everything, and stone, big brick stone building. And so we moved in there. It was really cheap. It had been run down, and there was, in one of the rooms that we used, the big main room that we used as our rehearsal room, someone had done this incredible drawing of Jimi Hendrix's head on the wall.
Oh, wow.
And no matter how much people painted over, it kept coming back through. It was like he was like the ghost.
Spirit of Place, or
and it didn't have any furniture in it, so the local ice skating rink, St. Moritz, had closed down. So the word had gone around that the place had a lot of, bits and pieces and stuff that we could have. So we used to go down there and borrow quite a bit of furniture to furnish it. So there was chairs and
Buffing Bob Taylor built a table out of the floor from St. Moritz. And, some classics. And, there was always a big pot on the stove brewing with flour and water and salt.
Mm.
And then we'd go out late at night and we'd put posters up all over Melbourne, with brooms.
We pioneered a lot of spots, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, the mob who did all the posters, they kind of went, you can't take our prime spots. And they would come and cover our posters over, but we'd just go back the next night and cover them over again. And we just keep doing it. And in the end, they gave up. They went, I can't beat them.
I love it. Goanna just bombing the city. That's just the best. Oh.
It was a bomb. And they were really big posters too.
Yeah.
That glue that we made, that was ruined for days on the stove. No, some of those posters were there. Like, I think there's still a couple left around Melbourne.
You can't get them off.
It was good glue.
I remember getting caught at the Vic Market putting one up.
happened, yeah. So we had to peel it off. It took all night.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, lots of great music, and anyone who walked past the building, you know, like they'd get seconded in and, you know, can you do something? Yeah, and Bob Taylor, oh, I can fix cars. So he fixed everyone's cars.
Wow.
It was a really interesting collective. I mean, we're all just getting by, trying to make something work. Get the band going, and
yeah, we didn't have any money, you know. So it was just do what you can, be resourceful, and you know, I think we're sort of
practice.
Yeah.
For sure. Take us back as well to your first. I'm not sure if it was your first, but it was that trip out to Mutitjulu and Uluru. Where a lot of things changed for you as an artist and as a person.
Yeah, that was 1981. Like, we're saying, struggling, trying to get a name for ourselves. We're starting to get a bit of traction in Melbourne. Not enough to get a wage each yet. And I went for a break out to Uluru. I got pretty run down and stuff and went for a break out to Uluru. And I was looking for something, the soul of the country, the heart of the country, something. Was culture still practiced? Were people still talking language and singing and dancing? And I just happened to intersect at a time when the mob from Armada, just south of Uluru, were coming back to reconnect with that country, their traditional country, and Anangu mob. And they set up a little tent on that western side of the rock. And they were selling artefacts and making artefacts there. And that was the beginning of Marakuu Arts, which is still going today out at Mutitjulu and selling to the world from all across the Western Desert. And at the toilet and shower block, there was this, where I was camping, this on the other side, there was this woman. She's putting up a little thing on the toilet and shower block. It just said, Inma, other side of the rock, sunset. And I said to her, what's Inmar? She said, it's song and dance, Corroboree, you know. You should go, she said. And so in the afternoon, I walked around there and I ran into another fellow. That was Pat Duranjo, who went on to work with the Central Land Council and everything for years. Mm-hmm. And then I ran into a fellow called Peter Yates, who was with the mob from Armada. And Peter had been spent his whole life working out there. And he introduced me to a lot of the people, Rini Kulich's father. And Rini's beautiful painter. That's her painting on the Uluru Statement from the Heart.
Wow.
And she was a young woman then. So that Inmar took place. It was a really powerful experience to see that for the first time, really proper way, you know, like ceremony like that. In the fading light, mob painted up white ochre like spirit figures and dancing, chanting, sun. Darkness falling and that full moon coming up over the back, you know, it's like, you know, I thought I knew where I was. I didn't know where I was. Yeah. I was in someone else's country. Hey?
Yeah, for sure.
And the light went on and it hasn't gone out, you know, and that little fire that lit up inside just turned into a flame or a bushfire or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and solid rock came. Then in that time there, it started to unfold. Then we came back from there, saw what was going on in Alice Springs on my way home after that, and the dispossession, the abuse, the neglect, the genocide, the hardness of what had happened. And you can't turn away, you know. So Solid Rock came from, you know, those experiences and... it was just a song I wrote at the time. You know, I felt strongly about it, but we had no idea. We got home, the band, we practiced it up and we got that groove going. Mm-hmm. Really want to get those toms in there so it felt earthy, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we toured with James Taylor. And just before that, we met up with a guy called Billy Cummins in Geelong who was down there. And he's Yalanji man and, you know, and Billy came and that night in Geelong, he came and played Didge on Solid Rock for the first time. And we, like, at that moment, the thing came alive.
Oh, wow.
And And, yeah, it just felt like our generation was ready for change. And so he said, come with us, brother, come on the tour. So he came on the James Taylor tour with us. And we toured around the country.
And you'd have James playing didge, wouldn't you,
before the show? You had James Taylor playing yidaki, yeah, didgeridoo and stuff then. And, you know, it, at Adelaide, at the Festival Theatre, which was the last show of the tour, so we finished the whole night with Solid Rock. And we were just the support, the opening act. And we did Solid Rock and we got a standing ovation.
Oh, really?
And for a support act, that was a really unusual thing. And we knew there was something. Yeah, like I said, our generation felt like we were ready for change in this country.
So you think, like, most 40 years ago,
Solid Rock, standing on sacred ground.
Triple A Murray Country, having such a great arvo here in the building with Goanna joining us in Studio One, and it's been awesome. Some of the yarns off air and on air, just some beautiful stories, rich with the history of this country. And we might mic up and do a little song soon, and have you perform something for us, but. Still
so you're listening to your younger voices there.
Yeah.
Are you lamenting those? Or you're obviously mature as musicians. But
like yeah. It's funny, you know, like there's 40 years gone past, and really a lot of those songs from the album haven't been played. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been singing Solid Rock and Razor's Edge and at the Franklin Flow all these years, but 4 weeks gone... It's such a great song to play live. It just rocks. And Borderline, like, those songs are really great. It is great to go back and find that album again ourselves and really, you know, the harmonies. I mean, Rosa Musk, you know, they're such incredible singers and songwriters and musicians as well in their own right. And, yeah, the depth, yeah, you know, what we've lost in youthful vigour, yeah, we've picked up in experience, hopefully, and, yeah, and wisdom, yeah.
So is the dynamic still the same as it was?
Pretty much. We're all, you know, we're so familiar with one another and with one another's voices too, and, you know, we sort of read where someone's going to go with the harmony before it even happens.
It is instinct.
Yeah.
And also, like, I think I surprised myself that I could get up that high. And some days are harder than others.
Took me about a month singing Stand Your Ground, because it is really heights in eight. Yeah. And so I had to work at it. You know, and bit by bit I got my voice back up to that range, but... Gordy, Lordy, Woody.
It's a ladder. Yeah. This time you gave me a mountain.
once you get on stage and it gets going, you know, then the energy's moving. Great. That's rhythm huge. Section too. Yeah. You know, the energy's moving, the spirit's moving, and you're 25 again, you know, and you walk off stage at the end of the night and 40 years just hits you.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Tell us where you reside now, and what you do day to day, and whereabouts where you're based.
Mm. Mars.
Let's start over here.
Yeah,
Mars. Well, yeah.
I live in just up the road from Geelong, and so it was really convenient for this whole thing to get together because everyone lives in proximity.
It's down the road.
It was just spectacular.
Lovely, Graham.
Yeah, sort of. Geelong has been headquarters, hasn't it, for meeting up for rehearsals and things. I'm in Geelong. Rosie's not far away.
Yeah, I'm in Queenscliff, and I'm still, Mars and I, we're all still doing our music and writing. You know, we've all got a few albums under our belts these days.
Yeah.
But a lot of that consciousness is still in our music too, even when we're writing today. So, you know, that was a very influential period for us as young songwriters. Shane was the main songwriter in the band, you know, and I think there was so much to take in those early days, you know, what was happening. We learnt so much about culture and stuff, but it's part of us now, you know, and that still comes through in all of our music. And when we're doing, you know, arranging our own harmonies, there's still something going on in our individual work, you know, because
we've all affected each other, I think.
Yeah.
And last night at Gold Coast at Hotter, afterwards we caught up with a woman called Joanne Peterson, and Joanne was part of the A&R team at Warner's when they signed us in 1982, when that album came out. And she was there last night with two of her grandchildren, and the little one was saying how they've been learning solid rock at school.
Oh, wow.
You know, and it's amazing to think that that's still going on. But this next generation, I mean, our generation, we had to build, black fellas and white fellas, we had to build a bridge to each other because they didn't teach us any of this stuff in school. Mm-hmm. And Archie and I used to talk about that. And we have to live on the bridge too, between worlds. But now, you know, our kids, our grandkids, they can just run across it freely.
It's amazing how much you can actually just pick up on your iPad and watch.
Yeah.
You know, there. It's all there. That history is all there as well.
Yeah, no excuses now.
No, there's no.
I'm still in music education. I've done that most of my life, teaching music. Yeah.
So is that part of why you've reformed as well? I mean, not so much in a nostalgia, but for these things still got to be talked about, this message
to write.
It's still got to be front of mind.
Yeah. There's still a way to go.
Mm. Yeah, if you go to remote communities, I mean, the health issues, the diabetes, there's that Four Corners program on, rheumatic heart stuff. There's still a lot of disadvantage going on out there, even in the urban settings. Yeah. People are still disadvantaged. That empowerment is yet to really come to the foreground. It was great to hear the Prime Minister talk about commitment on the night of the election to the Uluru Statement from the Heart. The words are there. Let's see the action, hopefully.
Yeah, 100%.
Feels good. Feels like we're moving towards something. Why do we want to do this? It's not for the money, I can tell you that. and we're way too old for it. But there's a bit of unfinished business. Yeah. Goanna crash landed when we crashed because we had a lot of success really fast.
Yeah.
Too much, really, too soon. And it took a huge toll on us. And we were ripped apart. I mean, you got a picture, remember, that we're being feted by the commercial mainstream music industry, but we're sleeping on people's floors, Aboriginal people's floors. Here in Brisbane was a big story here with, you know, Cheryl Buchanan and Lionel Fogarty and all that mob. The rallies that are all going on around the country at that time. So we're being ripped apart by seeing the disparity and what was going on. So, one, we can measure change 40 years down the road. Encourage a bit more.
Yeah.
Environmentally, you know, Rhettla Franklin flow. You know, things were urgent there. Now we're on the precipice, you know, and we don't want to consign our children and grandchildren to a living hell on earth with climate change.
Way.
So, yeah, let's rattle the cage. Let's ring the bell. Let's sound the alarm one more time before we're gone and say thank you to everybody who supported us over those years and gave us a life in music, you know. We're very grateful.
We'll be able to be a part of that tomorrow night at the Tivoli in Brizzy. You guys are performing locally then. The rest of the dates are coming up. You've got... I've got to get my notes here. I'm only worried about the Brisbane show.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, then no offence, Rocky and all that.
Then up to Mackay and Rockhampton, and then we head to Alice Springs and Darwin. And
oh, wow.
Out there, yeah.
That'll be a trip.
Yeah, will be. Unreal. Yeah. You're a lover of wildlife, and you've shared a lot of that through interviews in the past, and I just wanted to know, have you noticed a difference in any of the migratory species down where you're from, given all this rain? Because as a bird flying all the way from Europe, there would be part of me that goes, that creek wasn't there before. I might fill up there and then head back.
Well, it's funny, we had to fight a campaign down locally. I live in southwest Victoria, which is where I grew up pretty much. And we're my Irish ancestors, and Marcy is too, because strangely enough, we share the same parents.
Good to know our country.
Yeah. Week on, week off, you know. But we had to fight for the little hooded plover.
Same in our area too.
The numbers are falling. And another bird, the orange-bellied parrot, which has got right down to critically endangered. But they're starting to build up again. They've been breeding them in captivity and introducing with the wild birds. And they fly from Tasmania over our place every year.
Wow.
Feed up in the wetlands. Because if you go back in Murray time or Koori time or in Aboriginal time, only 10,000 years ago you could walk to Tasmania.
Yeah.
And cross a few creeks and rivers. So that little orange-bellied parrot, he carries that memory.
Yeah, right.
Of that time, probably, you know.
That is unreal.
Yeah, you know.
Wow.
There was a big campaign down where I lived years ago because I'm very close to Swan Island, big kind of ACES installation down there. And they wanted to put the big bombers landing on that island. So we ran a big campaign to, because the orange-bellied parrot were living there. So we ran a big campaign to actually stop those big planes coming in. And we erected a sign in the middle of the rip, which is the thing that goes through the island, saying, beware orange-bellied parrot. People rode out in canoes and stuff and put up this great big sign. And, you know, we had the military say, you can't put that there, you can't put that there.
Yeah, so, I mean, all of us really have taken what we learnt from that experience of that album and really inculcated that into our lives. And so Rosie with her, what she'd been doing and working on, and Russ with what she does. And Graham too, you know, like we practice what we preach. Sometimes you got to get off the big merry-go-round and just look after your own backyard too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And been involved in little cultural festivals down home and things like that.
And too, with education, like I think, you know, as Shane sort of said, with Solid Rock and children's books, and you've been in that area with language and, you know, we did an album, in our third album, Spirit Returns, in 1998. And, you know, we looked at we opened, you know, at Parliament House, the launch of the Bringing Them Home report.
Mm.
And
yeah.
Meeting the Stolen Generations was profound.
Mm-hmm.
And Mars wrote a beautiful song
yeah.
called Sorry. And
that was in 96, 97, like when John Howard wouldn't say sorry.
Mm.
And let's not forget that a lot of the LNP actually ministers at the time said that the Labor Party are down the other end of Parliament House and they're in the crying game now. Oh, you know, those things cut.
Yeah.
And,
it was pretty heavy. And, you know, it was great that Shane and Rose both said, yeah, oh, we'll support this song, let's do it. Let's support this, you know. And to have that support when you're a songwriter is fantastic, you know.
Mm.
People say yes.
Yeah.
We'll do this. Yeah.
Tremendous.
Very powerful day there at Parliament House.
Yeah, and deaths in custody is a long way to go yet. You know, all those recommendations need to be enacted. And but still, here we are. Mm. We're alive and kicking.
Yeah.
And
I like the way you mentioned
change is going to come, hopefully.
Mm.
Children's books and learning from a very young age about Indigenous people in this country, I think it's the most important thing, and normalising it almost, because there's just a lot of noise out there.
Yeah.
That makes you think otherwise. And
little kids don't keep score.
Like, no, they don't.
They're not born racist,
eh?
No,
yeah, they're not that. And, you know, when it's sort of normalised and everything, the harder for the older generation, like our parents' generation, I think a lot of those people grew up with a lot of misconceptions about what was, you know, what culture was about and the connection to the land. But my family were farmers, so, you know, my dad had a very strong connection to the land, and so I grew up with that love of land too. And we're all country people, you know, the land really means something to us, so it's a bit, maybe a bit easier for us to connect with that concept.
Mm. And then, you know, like just the journey that this song, this album, took us on into Aboriginal Australia. Yeah. You know, like, you know, stop it, you Maurice. Yeah. You know, like,
it was a steep learning curve as a young girl.
And how much that has enriched our lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Those stories, that journey, understanding deeply. I mean, being the generosity.
Yeah.
And those beautiful sharing of stories and that deep entering into the country, you know, like, what a privilege, you know. And
absolutely.
Like I say to all, my message to, I guess, to non-Indigenous Australia is come on in, the water's fine.
That's it. Come on down.
These are the treasures.
Yeah, the real gold.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Do you want to do a song? You want to perform something?
What do you got in mind? What are you thinking of song?
I was like wanting Factory Man, but anything at all.
Factory Man.
Factory Man. His dad does that one, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah.
I want to hear the OG version.
Yeah. Are you gonna sing along?
I might do.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
We should have called Daddy, no?
Well, you don't have to do that.
It's a
one.
Dad song, hey?
No. It's do
not,
whatever you want.
It's not.
Behind you, say goodbye. Watch the river running by you. Hear the whistle blow. You stand to go. Leave and everything behind you. Chained to the machine. I remember you there. Stand alone at the top of the stair with your broken heart. You're holding it in your hand. Hear the whistle blow. You need to know whatever it is that keeps you here. Don't wanna be a factory man. Don't wanna be a part of someone's plan. Spending your life just changing. Watch the river running by you. Hear the whistle blow. You need to know whatever it is that keeps you here. And from the bush, wasn't it?
That was amazing.
That was my, it's my favourite version now. I've got it recorded here forever.
That's great. Yeah.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Oh. No, thank you.
Thanks,
Kevin. When you wake up one morning and they're pounding at your door, telling you your business and what you're doing it for. They might have a warrant, might have a law on their side. But when they come with daggers in their eyes, don't take them. Stand your ground, we're all on the one-way ride.
beside ourselves. AAA Murray Country. It's 4:56, and Goanna are in the studio, still pinching ourselves. We can't believe it. We absolutely love you guys, and it's awesome to have you here. I just wanted to ask you one more thing, Shane. There's something about a Telecaster I was told to ask about. That went maybe it might have gone missing, and then it came back to you somehow.
How do you even get that story? I had the old telly that I had, and I bought it in Geelong. Like, it was a big investment, you know, lay-by job.
Yeah.
And that guitar came with me right through the whole Goanna journey. Mm-hmm. And then about 1986, because after Goanna, then I came up north, and I left it with a, I'll just say, the bass player. And we won't name names and incriminate anybody. But and then I came back and I went to get the guitar. And he said, no, you gave it to me, you know, for this and the other. And I went, no, I didn't. And anyway, it became a bit of an issue, so I went, I'll forget it. And I let it go. And then, I don't know, it was in the year 2000 and something. You know, it might have been 2010 even. I was, we were doing a gig in Hepburn Springs in Victoria. And about 15 minutes before we went on, the publican came back. So he said, there's a guy outside he really wants to see you. And I said, oh, catch up after the gig. He said, he's not here for the gig. He just wants to see you. He's pretty keen. So I met the guy and he said, I think I've got a guitar of yours. And I said, oh, right. And he said, yeah, it's a Telecaster. And he mentioned this particular bass player's name, how he bought it from him. And I said, oh, right. And I said, well, he said, I'm going to Indonesia. I'm going to live in Indonesia. So I'd probably sell it. And I said, oh, what do you want to sell it for? And he said, oh, $400. And I said, yeah, I'll buy it off you. So I had to buy it twice, you know. Yeah. And he said... I said, look, I can't give you the money now, but if you give me an address, I'll send you the money. He said, look, he said, I've got it in the car. He said, I'll bring it in now. He said, I'll give you my address. He said, I trust you, you'll send me the money and stuff. And so he brought the guitar in, and he brought it in, and there was the old case, and he opened the case. I nearly cried when I saw it. So that guitar was a boomerang, yeah, and it came back. Yeah, it's a lovely, beautiful thing to have something come back to you.
It totally is. Wow. Must have loved you.
There's a few guitars that didn't come back, I've got to say.
Yeah. Too good. We're about to play Razor's Edge. And you said you had a story about Brizzy and Razor's Edge.
Oh, look, it's all talk, isn't it? that everyone be saying that fella doesn't shut up. Why didn't he give the women a go? But 75, I left Melbourne with $30 on a guitar, and I thought, I'll see if I can hitchhike to Sydney. I got to Sydney and I just went, wow, I wonder how far you could keep going with your hitchhiking. And I end up right up the east coast of Australia, up through all that Bundjalung country now, through the big river country, and then into Brisbane. It was the first, I'd never been like anywhere like this before. And I end up wandering around Brisbane. I didn't know anyone. And end up in King George Park, and I ran into these two Murray fellas, Aboriginal fellas, and they spotted me with a guitar. And it's like, hey, you know, so we're sitting down and we're a little bit of this and
a little bit of that.
And then we're trading country songs and stuff. Yeah, I'm passing the guitar around.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, like in 1998, then we did a third Goanna record, and we did some shows in Melbourne for the Melbourne Music Festival. Mm-hmm. And Lionel Fogarty was involved in that, Bart Willoughby, the Pigrams. And Lionel said to me, he said, did you ever meet in the park before Goanna days with two Murray fellas in Brisbane? I said, how could you possibly know that story? And he said, when you turned up on Solid Rock on the film clip on television, they went, that's that fella we were jamming with in the park. Now, that was 7 years later.
Oh, my God.
I tell you what, Murray got a hunter's eye or what? And, you know, Razor's Edge was written on that journey in those travels right up. I got ended up in Cairns, you know, and then had to find my way home. I had to sell the guitar.
Oh, wow.
But But that was a three-month-long journey, and Razor's Edge kind of fell out of the universe during that journey.
You didn't sell that Telecaster again, did you?
No way. No, he's staying home now.
That's acoustic, hey?
Your breath away. So you can't find the money just to pay the rent, the food and the hurt, they're still heaven sent. And he's been leaving on a razor's edge, trying to touch the sun. He won't fall for that same old trick. And Kathy's all right, she just get worried every day. This world that we love might get swept away, and there'll be nothing left if we don't change our ways. How's it gonna work out? She said anyway. She's been leaving on razor's edge, trying to touch the sun. She won't fall for that same old trick again.
She's getting herself together environmentally.
It's just one of these days I'm just gonna lie in the sun. What's she wondering about?
Right now I'm wondering, does that day ever come?
Oh, she's been living on a razor's edge, trying to touch the sun. She won't fall for that same old trick again. I got a letter, Facebook message from Davey just the other day.
And an email.
And the note just read, please come to Byron Bay. You got a heart saying go, yeah, you got a head saying stay. And the big wheels just keep turning every day. Don't go leaving down on razor's edge, trying to touch the sun. 'Cause you just fall for that same old trick again. Yep, we're leaving on razor's edge, trying to touch the sun. Such a fine line, I keep meaning to write. Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Clay. Thanks to Triple A.
Great radio station.
Yeah, what a station, mate.
Beach, yeah. The son of a gun.
Yeah, absolutely. The son of a gun. And here's to Triple A.
This podcast is sponsored by Mavericks Western Wear, your one-stop shop for all your rodeo and saddlery needs. Mavericks.net.au.